And this morning, we again have the opportunity to hear from some people who have done just that, some people who have connected, they're growing, and they've gone. Today, we're going to hear from the CYG mission team and hear about their mission trip. And so I want to invite them to come forward. Okay. Do you guys want this? Okay.
Bill Olson was unable to be with us today, but she did send her response to the mission trip, and I'm going to read that now. For me, the mission trip this summer was an incredible experience that I had not expected at all. It was amazing being surrounded by so many people that were so on fire for God and so bold in their faith, and it was honestly so inspiring. I was able to serve others and learn more about their community while doing it. And even when it was really frustrating, we all worked really hard to finish what had been started. I love getting to know the people in my group better and made many unlikely friends along the way. If you take time to actually talk to people, then you may realize you have much more in common with them than you originally ever thought. I think God's why for me going on this trip was a bit different than my own. I went to serve people and to connect with my peers, which is great. But I think that God wanted something for me too. I think he wanted to remind me that he's always there for me, even in the crazy transition periods in my life where it's really hard to see anything but the magnitude of my own problems. He's here. It has been so comforting during my transition to college to have that constant presence of God there for me to lean on when I wasn't able to do it myself. Michaela.
18 students, 4 leaders committed to serve Colorado Springs, Colorado, July 18th through 24th. The service ministry that coordinated our mission was Next Step Ministries. Next Step was hosted at Sunrise Methodist Church, where we ate, slept, and showered in a trailer. That was always an adventure. Colorado is in a beautiful, active state. Beyond its beauty and activity, there is a homeless population. The homeless population is increasing. The resources available to the homeless population in Colorado Springs is limited. There is a growing need for more resources as the number of homelessness increases. We worked with 3 resources called Family Life Services, Monday Night, Crossfire Ministries, and Medical Mission Clinic, or Roundup.
We spent the first 6 weeks of the summer, June until our trip, preparing our hearts and our minds through prayer and through study. And this week I heard a message that somebody encouraged me to listen to. And the pastor said, it is one thing to see a chair and be sure that you can sit in it. But it is a whole other thing to have an act of faith and actually sit in it. And so much of our conversation leading up to the mission trip was about what does it mean to truly believe? To truly believe in God in a way that you feel as though you can go and proclaim God to someone else as being a benefit to them. And in that, we grew to understand that God was calling us on this mission trip for a very distinct purpose, and that was to connect with him and to connect with one another on our way there, and to connect with others once we were there. Philippians 2, 1 through 11 was a scripture that the Lord really used to root our hearts in prior to going on the trip, and Judah is going to read that for us now. Philippians 2, 1 through 11.
Thanks. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
So I went on the trip mainly because Mom made me. But she's not here, so she doesn't need to know that. But also I went to be able to just hang out with all my friends and also to be able to serve others.
Okay. My why for going on this trip was that there was no better way to spend the summer than going and connecting with people and connecting to God and connecting others with God. So why not go on this trip? It was the best thing that I could have done.
The reason that I wanted to go on this trip was to be able to serve others and to be able to grow my relationship with God.
I think she meant you three, but I'm not completely sure what he had for me that was different than what I had for me, but I guess being more out of my comfort zone and taking the first step and the second step and the third step and not letting it come to you, I guess that's it.
Okay, so my favorite work project was Roundup, and it's like a school for the mentally and physically disabled. And we were working on these garden boxes, and there was this little boy, and his name's Jamarcus, and he came out and like helped us measure them, and he was like so excited and happy to help us, and it was really fun. Yeah.
My favorite work project was we were laying down flooring at Roundup, and it was just really nice to be able to see the project that we were doing come together because it looked really good at the end.
My favorite project was Roundup again, but only it was when we were taking up the flooring, and it was just really fun to work and do stuff like that.
She says bringing up the flooring was her favorite part. I'll just tell you that I was not in there helping, but there were pieces of tile everywhere, like little pieces of tile, because some of it was so glued down that they were just getting little pieces at a time, but she still found joy in it. So just to give you some perspective. Okay, was there anybody else that was supposed to answer that? What was the highlight of your week?
Okay, so my highlight was the worship. Like, God was definitely present during all of our worship, and meeting, like, the Philly people and just everyone there. Like, it was really fun to connect with people because we didn't have our phones, so we could connect with people.
My favorite part of the trip was not actually while we were at any of the places we were going, not in Colorado necessarily, but my favorite parts were the car trips, especially the one to Colorado. We had a condition going into this mission trip, and that was 2 hours a day on the phones, and it was a big deal, and it was giving up a lot. And stop laughing. One of the biggest things was that we started talking to each other after Angela told us to ask questions to each other and to learn more about each other and to ask follow-up questions. And after we were told to do that, learn 5 things about each person in the row, after that it was... we talked a lot more, and it was a healthier ride, I'd say.
So my highlight of the week was definitely worship as well. It was really cool because you could see, as we were singing, like, different parts of each song would impact people. And you would see people put in front of you, like, bow their heads or raise their hands for, like, a certain part of the song. And then you'd start thinking about that. And you're like, wow, I can really see where they're coming from. And then you also, at the end, you can just see, like, everyone just like held around each other, helping each other out. And it was really cool to see that no matter like where you were in the song or what was really going through anyone's mind, was that it was just, we're here to help each other, but yet also learn about ourselves.
My highlight of the week was on Friday when we worshiped all together. We had an extra cleanup time, and we made a big circle of chairs in the fellowship hall. And I can't remember his name, but one of the other pastors that were there played the drums, and then Moses played the piano. And Abby was really good at singing, and so it was really fun because we got to worship almost all night, and that was before they left, and yeah.
Some powerful worship when you have 14 through 18-year-olds saying their favorite part of the mission trip was worship. Amen. So the final two questions is, what do you think was God's why for sending you on the trip, and how have you changed because of it?
I think God's why for sending me on this trip was for me to see there are other believers outside of Ottawa. I've prayed for friends to lead me to Christ and have struggled to find them, but on this trip, God not only revealed people in Ottawa to me, but that there are also people out there, even if they live 10,000 miles away. And then, how have I changed since the trip? How have I changed since the trip, and what do I want to be held accountable for? I'm trying to be more bold in my faith by not being scared to tell others about God and being bold enough to have a conversation with someone. I also feel like the Lord is calling me to be content where I'm at with Him.
I think why God sent me was so I could really deepen my faith, and I'm able to see other people that know God and know Him more than me, and so I can actually learn more and not just stay on the surface than what I know about him.
So I think God's why for me to go on the trip was, one, to grow in my relationship with him, but also to meet new people from outside of Ottawa, and then just see how our different, like how we're so far apart, but we're so similar. And then since the trip, I've just been more intentional about being in the Word and also just strengthening my relationship with God.
One thing that I've changed since, or like while we were on the trip, I have gotten closer to God than I used to. I used to call myself a Christian when I really wasn't. I would stay away from his word. I would go to church to check it off my list, or because my parents really wanted me to. And like when people would talk about God, I would just like not focus or not really listen. But when I went on the mission trip, I was just surrounded by these Christians, and I saw that, like, they were really deep, and I really wanted that faith. And during one of the days during the worship that us teens had, while they were singing, I could really feel his presence, and I couldn't believe that it was that strong, and it was just overwhelming with all this, with everything that he was doing. It was just surprising how much that he could do this for me. And it's like he was telling me to follow him and to listen to him and to listen to what other people were saying. And he was saying, listen to what I'm saying, follow me, follow what I want you to do. This is not what I wanted you. I want you to follow me. I don't want you to go what other people are doing. I don't want you to keep believing on what other people want of you. You should do what I want of you. So,
so my why for the trip, I feel like God's why for me was to just like be more, I don't know how to say it, like just kind of follow what he has. The first couple days I was there, I was really focused on like who I was hanging out with and who I was trying to like impress, I guess. And I was just, like, praying, like, just let me be in your presence, and I'm here for you and only you, not for other people. And after that prayer, I just, like, completely, like, my friend groups that I originally wanted to hang out with completely changed, and I made so many new friends and people that, like, I actually got to be vulnerable with and, like, people I actually got to get close with. And so I feel like with that, I learned to just stop worrying about, like, who I want to hang out with and what I want to do versus what God has planned for me and what God wants me to do. And so I feel like that kind of changed. Like when I went back to school, I started I stopped caring about like what other people thought and what I thought other people would like, and just really started focusing on like what God had planned for me and what God wants me to do like in school and not what other people want me to do.
You can hear that there was radical transformation that occurred in each one of us on this trip, and that God's presence was palpable. It was very tangible to each and every one of us, recognizing that when we proclaim that we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we're saying that we believe his word is truth and that we want to walk and follow in his ways. And that we can be deceived into believing that if we just do the right things, check the right boxes, come to church on Sunday, that that is following Christ. But truly, what we encountered was just affirmation that we must know the word of God to walk in the ways of God. And in that, each and every one of us left essentially saying, this is what we want to be held accountable to. So I shared a little bit with you about before we left on the trip that we had all, it was very clear we were to connect with God and connect with one another and to be intentional about that. One of the ways that we decided to do that was to put our cell phones, power them off, put them in a Ziploc bag, and we would only be able to access them 2 hours a day, which actually ended up being more like 15 minutes a day. But the beautiful thing is that by Tuesday, so we left on Sunday, by Tuesday, most of the students could have cared less whether they even had their phones. And I know for some of you that may seem like no small sacrifice, but I am here to testify that for those students to power off their phones and to put them in a Ziploc bag is real. It is being willing to completely disconnect from what they know to be social, from what they know to be connecting. And the reality is that they have their safe group of people that they can connect with every time they get on their phone, and they never have to branch outside of that safe little group. But they said that they loved God so much that they were willing to power off their phones and not be connected. That was an act of faith. That was sitting on the chair. Not just sitting on it, but wanting to carry it around with them everywhere they went, right? Like, it was beautiful. So I have to just be honest in sharing with you that things weren't going well with the no phone thing. Like, I thought I had it all put together. I had great car games, right? Thinking, we're leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning, so I'm gonna have to do something to get them chatting. And I thought, once we played a game or two, that it would break the ice and that they would start talking with one another. But what I found was quite the opposite. There was silence and frustration, and they were overwhelmed, and they were discouraged, and they were disappointed. When we stopped for lunch in Goodland, the plan was to celebrate. We had a birthday person, and so we got all the stuff out to celebrate. But my heart was heavy. My heart was heavy because I heard student after student that was just bearing the burden of not having their phone. And I didn't understand, because I didn't think I did it. Like, I didn't think I took their phone. I thought they had committed, that they had seen that they should leave the phones off, that they wanted to commit that time to the Lord. But the burden seemed too heavy. So I began to pray, and we had lunch, and then a storm rolled in. I mean, a storm. Really big pieces of hail, blowing winds, and we were trapped there at the park under this pavilion type thing.
But there was a man stuck with us. His name was Charles. Charles was a recovering drug addict. He had an 11-year-old son in Colorado, the very state we were going to visit, that he's never seen and never taken part in his life, and he had remorse. He had nearly died 3 times, and he had come to know the Lord in the last 4 years. I found all of this out about Charles by visiting with Charles, by asking a question, and then a question, and another question, and another question. And so then, when he was finished, I asked him, because it was still pouring rain, if he would mind sharing his testimony with the students. And so he did. We all prayed with Charles. We all left changed because of Charles. We stopped at the colorful Colorado sign, and there is when I realized all of a sudden that the Lord had answered prayer. He had sent Charles. He had shown us the power of connecting. He had shown us the power of one question and another question and another question. And when Judah said that his favorite was when we finally started asking questions of one another, it really was a radical change for the rest of the trip. And in that moment then, we all realized that we're not all together different, that we are actually all very much the same, but that we have to take time to listen to one another, to connect with one another, to ask questions. And honestly, I think that in our culture today, it's far too easy to pull in the garage and shut the garage door, to go into your fenced backyard, to not ask questions, not even of our neighbors. And we were sitting in the van, neighbors with one another, not even connecting, but we were on a trip to go connect with people. And then God connected us with him first. So on the trip, there are morning devotions and afternoon devotions, and then we have chapel at night. And so we felt like we would just show you how much more God continued to show up on our trip from day one. So, Ryan, if you would read the morning devotion.
So it starts off with the scripture, as a lot of devotions do. So it's Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Next is a little story from the author. Most likely by the time you turn 10, you will have played the game hide and seek at least a dozen times. I used to love this game so much. My favorite thing to do was hide, and once in a while, if I realized I was going to be found and the seeker was only a few feet from finding me, I would jump out towards them and yell, "Gotcha," before they could get me. This usually made the seeker jump back a few yards with their heart racing, only to wish they had never found me at all. After getting enough of my family and friends upset at me, I would eventually stop with all the jump scares, probably because I grew out of it, but mostly because they didn't want to play hide-and-seek with me anymore. Still, the game of hide-and-seek intrigues me. Sometimes, seeking God and being in his presence is like playing a game of hide-and-seek. Tony Campolo tells a parable of a rabbi's child who was playing hide-and-seek with some children. She went away and hid herself, but the other children acted cruelly. While she was hiding, they ran away and left her behind. When the little girl realized she had been abandoned by her friends, she went running home and threw herself into her father's arms and cried, "Daddy, I was hiding and nobody tried to find me." The father hugged his daughter and said, God understands. He understands more than you realize." It must be the ultimate frustration of God that we seldom seek him out. The Bible says that if we truly seek him, we will find him. Maybe the reason we often think God is hiding from us is because we're actually the ones hiding from him. Sometimes we act cruelly, like the friends in the parable, and run away from God, not even trying to look for him at all. The good news is that if you choose to really take a look around and seek after God, he promises that you will truly find him. And maybe the best news is that God won't give you a jump scare, but rather he'll be waiting with open arms, glad that you found him.
see any parallels to what the Lord was already doing in us. And that was our very first devotion Monday morning, reminding us that all we have to do is to lay down our lives, to lay down our busy schedules, to lay down our phone and seek God, to seek him, and we will find him. He's there just waiting. So we would then go out to work, and we would work the rest of the morning until lunch, and then we would have a lunch devo. And on day one, this was our lunch devo.
So the title starts out with the artist, and it just starts right in. The moment you were born into this world, you began an amazing journey. And if you're reading this today, then your journey has led you here. For some of you, coming here just sounded like a great adventure, a way to serve and have a good time and hang out with friends. For others, it was because your youth leader may have talked you into coming, or maybe even your parents forced you to come. There will come a time along your journey, if it hasn't happened already, when you may begin to doubt or question things about your life, God, or your religion. For example, who are we and what our lives are about, and often called into question by things that go into our own lives and in the lives of those around us. Doubt and confusion can often overtake us, thus making over our journey in this life difficult. To say the least, the good news is that asking questions and having doubt about God and your relationship with him isn't something to be afraid or ashamed of. In fact, sometimes it can be a healthy thing. Whatever your reason for your journey bringing you here to this community, we want you to know that this is a safe place to ask the tough questions, and it is a great opportunity to do some real soul searching. We all know what an artist is, whether it's a painter, a sculptor, an architect, a musician, a carpenter, a writer, etc. Have you ever looked up at the sky on a clear night? Have you ever noticed or tried to count the stars? Whether you're looking at the stars above, watching the beautiful sunset, or looking out upon the gorgeous landscape, it's not hard to see the true beauty in art and nature. With all of nature's beauty surrounding us, have you ever thought about how it came to be there at all? I mean, why should anything that exists really exist at all? Just as any fine work of art needs an artist, so our very own universe points to an artist as well. Regardless of what you may draw with your attention to art, all art has one thing in common. They had very humble beginnings. The Mona Lisa started out as a blank canvas. The world's greatest sculpture started out as a blend of lump clay. Even the earth started out as an... I'm not going to say that word. I don't know how to say it. And then it goes into a Bible verse. Genesis 1:2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. All art has a creator or an artist. The Mona Lisa and Leonardo da Vinci, all the sculptors have a sculptor, and the universe, it has God. Before you get to Genesis 1:2, though, we should go back to verse 1 of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God did it all. The sun, the grass, the trees, the water, the sky, the bushes, the dirt, and the rocks. All of it is God's handiwork. According to Genesis 1, God created the universe by speaking it into existence. A famous king of the Jews wrote about the stars and the beauty of the sky throughout the books of Psalms. In Psalm 8, David said that when he considered the heavens, it made him love even more impressed with God's love. Look what David wrote in Psalm 19. So Psalm 19, 1-6. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises to one end of the heavens and makes it a circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. You may be thinking, what is the point of all this? The point is simply that you have to experience the art before you can truly be impressed by the artist. One thing you're impacted by, or simply just appreciate of a piece of art, you instinctively become impacted by the artist and their talent. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his internal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so people are without excuse. It's our hope that when you look up upon God's art, that you are left in awe of who the artist is. So today, pray a very simple prayer. God, show me your art. All day long, pray for those five words, and let him reveal not only his creation, but his majesty to you.
Psalm 46:10 says to be still and to know that I am God. And in this time on this trip, that's exactly what we were doing. We were being still. We were avoiding the things that would distract us typically, to just be present in God's presence with others. Some of the revelations that came from the students at that lunch devo were powerful, and I wrote them down because they were making impact in my life in that very moment, and I've told them so many times, they may see me as a leader, but in so many ways they lead me into deeper understanding and faith through their own faith. One student said, in response to some of the questions to what Michaela just read, they said, we're really all just the same. We just have to get to know one another. We all have something in common. We suffer. We struggle to be accepted, and we love to be loved, and we all have something we enjoy, pets or other things that we would have in common. Another student said, when we were talking about what is some of the creation that you're just in awe of and why, the student said that they loved sitting out in the dark at night and just looking at the stars in the sky because they make that person feels so small, but yet so big that God created the stars for me. It's powerful. Another student said, if we stand in awe of the mountains and all of creation, if we believe the same God that created those things that we stand in awe of created us, then why don't we stand in awe when we look in the mirror? Why do we criticize ourselves and pick ourselves apart? Do we pick apart the mountains? Do we pick apart the stars in the sky, the flowers that bloom? And then another one said, all creation has a purpose, and so do we. Be confident in the Creator and go boldly into the next seen purpose he has for you. So in other words, ants do their thing, right? Birds do theirs. Let's just go do ours, right? They don't worry about everybody else. They worry about whether they're doing their thing. So continuing in Philippians 2, as we conclude our time with you today, 19 through 22 was a portion that the Lord led us back to on the trip. It had not necessarily been our focus before the trip in preparation, but rather once he had our attention. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like Timothy who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself. Because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. These students, the theme for the week was The Last Timothy. And every night we would watch a movie, a video diary of a man being discipled by another man named Hal. And at the end of the video, of course, you realize that Hal is no longer in his life. But Hal played a pivotal role in discipling him. And when he asked why he was spending so much time with him, Hal said, "You are my last Timothy." So just ask you, who is your Paul? Who's discipling you? And who are you discipling? God called us to a place of submission and sacrifice, to humble ourselves and our own desires, to seek him, and we found him. When we did, the message was clear. He wanted to purify our hearts and reveal himself clearly to us, that our faith would be strengthened and be proved genuine, that we, like Timothy, would place his plans and the interests of others before our own as his dearly loved child. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be in fellowship with brothers and sisters. We thank you that we come here each week and you meet us here, each one of us bringing our own burdens, struggles from the week, our own joys and praises, our encounters with you, and some of us coming in deprivation, hungry and thirsty to possibly encounter you here because we haven't encountered you all week. So God, I just ask that you would reveal to each one of us, where is it in our lives that we are not being still to receive and encounter your presence, because you are always around and you're just waiting for us to seek and to find and then to go and tell the world what we've found, the greatest treasure. In Jesus' name, amen.